Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Today is the first day of spring. How about that? March the 21st of 2024. We are almost a quarter of the way through this year already. Oh, my Lord, help me. Please, somebody help me. Please forgive me. I didn't get to comb my hair this morning, but I apologize for that. I want to thank you for joining me. Now, please do me a favor, subscribe, like, and comment on my YouTube channel, my podcast channel, here on Facebook. Like, comment, and share these videos. This is how the word gets out, but also how you can help monetize this ministry. I want to thank you again for joining me, and I want to make sure that you guys understand that I so appreciate all of you. And even though we're taking a detour from specific Bible books, like at a time, like we just finished the book of John, and we're going into a theme at this point, it's because I really feel strongly that we are coming into a season now, and this next epic, I don't, epoch, or however you want to pronounce it, this next, I hate the word season, but the next season of time that we are going into desperately requires us to seek primarily the face of God, to seek Him, to get to know what He is like, to get to know His character. God, I've said this before, but God is always good. His character never changes. You can always trust God's character. You can always trust Him. And His character, when everything else seems to be falling apart, you can always trust His character. His character never changes. His character is so consistent. However, how He shows His love for you and how He shows His goodness to you is always unpredictable. You can't predict what He's going to do next, but He can always predict what He is going to be like. He never changes. He's very stable in what He's like, but He's unpredictable in the way that He shows you His goodness. And the way that He shows you, that's the variable with God, and that's the only variable with God. The church, on the other hand, is very inconsistent in their character and very boringly predictable in how they do things. And we have to switch that around as a body. And I'm not criticizing the bride of Christ. It's Jesus' bride. I'm not here to condemn anybody. Jesus didn't condemn anybody. I'm just letting you know and let you be aware of these things. So we're going into this portion of the gazing upon the Lord, seeking the face of God. We desperately need to do this in this time, we're coming up to an election. We need to seek the face of God. We need to do our part responsibly as citizens, but also we need to trust the name of God. We need to trust Him for who He is, and He will carry us through. And that's what we want to do. Seeking His face. If my people, 2 Chronicles 7:14, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek His face and turn from their wicked ways, then He will hear from heaven, then He will forgive their sin, and then He will heal their land. Repent, which means it's different than confession. Confession is agreeing with Him that what you've done or the thing that you're doing is sin, and acknowledging that and asking forgiveness. That is confession, and that is asking forgiveness. Repentance is something different. It's taking the action and turning 180 degrees away from it and aligning what you feel about that with what heaven says about it. Let's just take an example, a thief, okay? He repents of thieving. What he does is, or stealing, then what he does is he turns away. I will not do that. And then he ends up aligning with stealing looks like in heaven. Aligning what heaven thinks about it. And then living his life accordingly. Okay? So, you gaze upon the Lord. You gaze upon his face. You seek his face. You're seeking primarily the kingdom of God, his face. When you're seeking his face, you're seeking his presence. All right? A lot of people want to give kudos to the enemy. Well, the enemy doesn't have any kudos. The only time the enemy has any power in your life is when you start to agree with him. Now, I'm not telling you the enemy has no power. He has some power. He's more powerful than we are. But if we agree with him, then we empower. If you agree with the lie that he gives you, then you are empowering him, the liar. And we don't want to empower him. Remember, all authority is given to Jesus. And he sends us with his authority. That means the devil has no authority. If all authority is given to Jesus, the enemy has no authority, just permission from us to do what he does. Selah. If God has all power, then the devil has no power, comparatively. And so we need to seek God. We need to go after God. The Bible says that if we that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, Hebrews 11:6. Diligently seeking does not mean you're sitting on the couch and just going through the motions. Diligently seeking him is recognizing that he's always there. I have this bird outside my window and just perched over its nest, over the eggs, and waiting for the eggs to hatch, the babies to come out. And there's no fear in that bird, just caution, looking around, seeing what's going on around, making sure there's protection there or that the eggs are protected. And I want that bird to stick around. So what I do is I walk very gingerly around my windows. I open the windows very softly and slowly, having in mind that there's this bird that wants to be a part of it, that wants to be safe. And the same thing with the Holy Spirit. I live my life with the acknowledgement, with the understanding that the Holy Spirit is here, and I don't want to grieve him. I don't want to hurt him, and I don't want to grieve him, and I don't want to push him off to the side, and I don't want him to leave me. David cried out in Psalm 51, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me." Now, I know the Holy Spirit lives in us, all right? And I want to make that clear that that's true. The Holy Spirit lives in us. But I don't want to drive him away. I have to live my life conscious of the fact that the Holy Spirit is with me. I don't want to grieve him. I don't want to push him away. I want him to be with me. I desperately need him. And so, for example, if I had a napkin, I don't have a napkin, but if I had a tissue or something, I would put it on my shoulder. And if they told me that I had an inheritance that was due me, if I can live 24 hours with that on my shoulder and have it never leave, I would get this inheritance. So what I would do is I would live and move with the understanding of I got this thing on my shoulder that can't leave, and I would walk with that in mind. And the Holy Spirit's on me and he's in me, and I don't want to grieve him. I want him to be a part of my life. I want him to be my life. My prayer has been that God would inhabit me, that the Holy Spirit would take up residence in me, and that I wouldn't do anything that would grieve him or hurt him. So I'm looking at this phrase in scripture about gazing upon the Lord. The Passion Translation mainly translate as gaze, look upon him, but it means to gaze, and to gaze means to look steadily and intently, especially in admiration, surprise, or thought. You're looking at him steadily. I'm studying your face. We talked about the blind person touching the face to get to know you. We want to be able to gaze upon his face. Moses had that situation where he was able to talk to God face to face. Psalm 11, verse 7 says, "But remember this, Yahweh is the righteous one, who loves justice, and every godly one will gaze, look intently, look steadily, especially in admiration, upon his face." Yahweh is the righteous one who loves justice. Psalm 34, verse 5, "Gaze upon him, join your life with him, and joy will come." So here's two things that we have to do. Gaze upon him and entwine our lives with him, and then our joy will come. Our faces will glisten with glory, and you'll never wear that shame face again. Gaze upon him and entwine your life to him, and your shame will be gone. Your joy will come. I hear many Christians, I just don't have any joy. Well, gaze upon him and join your life with him. In Isaiah 17, verse 7, "In that day, people will gaze toward their Creator, and their eyes will look in faith toward the Holy One of Israel." Isaiah 41, 10, "Do not yield to fear, for I am always near. Never turn your gaze from me, for I am your faithful God. I will infuse you with my strength. I will help you in every situation, and I will hold you firmly in my victorious right hand." Remember, he is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, the Lord our victor, the Lord our refuge. Well, how do we not yield to fear? How do we not turn away from him? How do we not yield to that? Well, first of all, understand and acknowledge that he's always near. He's Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is present. Never turn your gaze from him. Never turn your gaze from him. Always look steadily and intently with admiration, with contemplation. I love this. Psalm 33, Isaiah 33, verse 17 and 20. "In this high place, your eyes will see the King in his stunning beauty and gaze upon his broad domain. Set your gaze on Zion, the city where we gather for Yahweh's feasts. Your eyes will see Jerusalem as a quiet, pleasant place. It is a secure dwelling, permanent and immovable, not like the tabernacle that used to be taken down, and that must be taken down, pegs pulled up and transported." Set your gaze upon God's domain. Set your gaze upon him. Look intently at it. This is what it's like. Our God is a secure dwelling. He is permanent. He is unmovable. As we seek him, he says, "If you seek me, you will find me." Well, then what do? Seek his face. Psalm 27, 8. "Seek my face." And my soul cried out, "Lord, your face I will seek." We're going to take a break here. I want to tell you, you can contact me through tomandsarah@outlook.com. I have two books for sale currently. I'm writing a third, fourth, and fifth book. I don't know why I'm writing three at the same time. It's just because I'm not scatterbrained, but the Lord will give me things for different books at the same time. Or like I'm writing this one book now. It's called Moments with Jesus. Well, in that book, I get these things that deal with my other book, like Song of Solomon, my Journey into the Heart of God, Part 2. And so understanding our identity in soul health, that's a sequel to my other book, From Breakdown to Breakthrough. You can get SOS, A 50-Day Journey into the Heart of God, and From Breakdown to Breakthrough, My Journey to Soul Health. You can get both of those books on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Also, you can get them on Walmart.com, any .com that sells books. And you can get the books from me. It's $20 if you get them from me, a donation of a minimum of $20. And you can get both of those books shipped to you. TomandSarah@outlook.com is how you can do it. If you want to donate into this ministry, TomandSarah@outlook.com, I'll send you the links. Cash App, Venmo, PayPal, Zelle, any one of those formats will work. Also, I'm going to be going to school next year in September, and I'm trying to raise $5,400 more. I already have 140 donated. It's like 56 and change, and I need 5,460 left to get to my goal. If you want to help out, TomandSarah@outlook.com. All right, back to this thing on gazing and seeking. One thing I've desired of the Lord, and that is what I seek after. That is what I'm going for. I remember, I don't know why, I wasn't a blueberry pie guy when I was a kid. And one day I was so craving a blueberry pie. They had them at the store for like a dollar or whatever. And I was just craving this blueberry pie. And I ate the blueberry pie, and it was so delicious. And then my friend made me a blueberry cobbler one time. And it's like, this is the thing. And I sought after that blueberry pie. How can I get the blueberry pie? You know? I remember my first job, I was at a car wash. And the car wash was right next door to my house, so I didn't have to go very far. But I remember there was a deli across the street, a sub shop, as sub shops were starting to come out. And I remember I would go in there and order this sub. Well, I would be hungry at lunch, and I didn't have any money. And I went to my boss, and he advanced me some of my paycheck so I can buy a sub. And I said, hey, can I get some money out of my paycheck for a sub? And he goes, so I can get something to eat. And he said, the U.S. Treasury doesn't hold enough money for me to get something to eat. But you're seeking these things, and you got to get them. I got to get it. I got to get it. Well, I'm going after God with all my heart. He says, seek me, and you will find me. If you search for me with all your heart. You can't do things half-hearted in this world when it comes to the kingdom of God. If you want to see people healed, you need to go after God. If you want to see people empowered by the Holy Spirit, you got to go after God. You got to seek him and find him as you search for him with all your heart. God desperately loves you. He sought you and he found you. Remember, you didn't find him. He found you. He wasn't the one that was lost. You were. And he got you, he got me, and he took us aside. He said, seek my face. I'm going to close with this story. In Azusa Street, William Seymour tremendous man of faith. He was at Azusa, and what happened was he was invited to go speak in Los Angeles. He got there, and he shared Acts 2:4 about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the church didn't like it, so they locked up the church, and he couldn't speak that night. He didn't know what to do, had no place to stay. Somebody invited him into their house. Well, 9 days before the Azusa Street breakout in April, he was up in his room praying. This was really cool. There's so many stories, but he was up in his room praying, and he was fasting and praying for those 10 days. The owner of the house came upstairs on Bonnie Bray Street. The owner of the house went upstairs and to pray with him. And then more people joined him in prayer. More people joined him in prayer. Finally, the outbreak happened at Bonnie Bray. As people were praying, he came out and he preached and got so many people that eventually the porch on the porch at the Bonnie Bray house collapsed. He had to find a place. He found a place for $8 a month. And he made that 312 Azusa Street, which is now an alley in Azusa, in LA. And the people go there to pray and to worship. And I want to get down there. I'm trying to find somebody to go with me, just to go down there for a couple of days and just to pray at Azusa, go to Bonnie Bray house. Got to be so powerful that people like six blocks away would fall out under the power of the Holy Spirit. The worldwide Pentecostal movement started in Azusa. The U.S. Pentecostal movement started in Kansas with Charles Parham, but the worldwide was done through William Seymour. And when people started to speak in tongues, God gave them languages, and they believed that those were the languages of the places that these people needed to be missionaries to. They sought the face of God. I remember one time God spoke to William Seymour in Los Angeles and told him at night during the James Crow years to go to this place, get on this subway, go to this exit or stop, get off, go to this house, and told him turn by turn directions to get to this place. Got to this place, and he knocked on the door. An African American man knocks on the door at night, and instead of being freaked out, this woman answers the door. And he says, I'm here to bring revival. They were just in the middle of a prayer meeting, praying for revival. And he was supposed to preach that revival. Welcome to the Azusa Street by a revival, 2.5 years of a major, major outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Actually, it was really funny, but the day that Azusa Street broke out, Mariah Woodworth Etter was up in San Francisco, and there was a major, and this fire overtook, I believe it was God, because San Francisco did not take the warning that Mariah Woodworth Etter was giving. God sent an earthquake and a fire, and that's the thing that got the front page news. Interesting. William Seymour was seeking the face of God. He gazed upon the face of God. Actually, it was interracial. You know, he was the leader, but it was an interracial church. Whites, African Americans, Hispanics, people came from every walk of life. There was a gentleman, an African-American gentleman, who lost his job at a factory because he lost his arm. He came to the Azusa Street Revival. They took the prosthetic off of his arm, and an arm grew out. Crazy. All because a man was seeking, or a people were seeking the face of God. Seek him, and you will find him if you search for him with all your heart. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He's near, and he's able to be found. And he's found you today. Give your life and surrender to him. Seek his face. Turn from your wicked ways. Then he'll hear from heaven. Then he'll forgive our sins. And then he will heal our land. Amen. Well, God bless you guys. Thank you so much for joining me today. Today is the first day of spring. Praise God. We're on the turnaround at the moment. Anyway, God bless you guys today. I love you. We'll see you tomorrow. Again, Tom and Sarah at Outlook.com. If you have any questions, we'll be glad to answer them. If you've given your life to Jesus, contact me, Tom and Sarah at Outlook.com. I don't mind being an online pastor. It's cool. Anyway, God bless you. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.